Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live worldwide on the award-winning Close Up Radio. Jim Masters here, and Dr. Janice Johnston is here as well, psychologist specializing in improving relationships among family members as they muddle through life, the cycles, and the transitions. Dr. Janice Johnston is also the author of It Takes a Child to Raise a Parent, Midlife Maze, and Transforming Retirement, Rewiring and Growing Your Legacy. In her first book, It Takes a Child to Raise a Parent, Dr. Janice, well, she provides incredible knowledge and resources so parents and expected parents learn the most practical strategies to effective parenting. In her second book, Midlife Maze, A Map to Recovery and Rediscovery After Loss, Dr. Janice thoughtfully and expertly discusses the challenges of coping with life's devastating losses that begin to emerge in midlife, usually ages 35 to 64. In her latest book, Transforming Retirement, Rewiring and Grow Your Legacy, which seemed a fitting book to complement her other two, she tackles what the prospect of retirement is like, or will be like, for individuals. For those in their 50s who are not yet in that retirement phase, Dr. Janice encourages them to start planning now for the lifestyle they desire in the future. In fact, it's never too early to start planning for the future. The earlier you plan, the more likely you are to reap the rewards financially and avoid potential pitfalls along the way. Dr. Janice, well, she really provides valuable roadmaps, helps you expand your knowledge, and transform your life. Although retired from her own work as a private practice psychologist, Dr. Janice actively continues to deliver life-changing workshops and speaking engagements as well. Her website is janicejohnston.com. That's JanisJohnston, and then .com. My pleasure to welcome her live and direct from Oak Park, Illinois, for this 30-minute uninterrupted live conversation on Close Up Radio Live. Dr. Johnston, thank you very much for joining us here on the program. It's a real pleasure to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you, Jim. I am really delighted to talk with you this morning.
It's a pleasure to have you here as well. And I like to sort of humanize our guests right at the outset for our listening audience around the world and get them to really feel connected with the guests. What are some of the things that pointed you in the direction of the work that you're doing? What was your earlier work as a psychiatrist like? And even before that, what inspired you to want to go into the work in the first place?
Well, I would say I was primed to my work as a psychologist. My mom was a part of Head Start in South Bend, Indiana. She came home with all kinds of stories about children and parenting issues. So no surprise that I became a school psychologist. My master's degree is in school psych, and my doctorate is in counseling psychology from Boston University. So my career began as a school psychologist for five public schools, grades K through 8 in Lexington, Massachusetts. And then my husband's work took us to Pennsylvania. I worked for a large hospital in Philadelphia in their consultation department. I was a consultant to an inner city school in Philly, teaching the teachers a problem-solving curriculum for very young students starting in kindergarten. I developed a 6-week burnout prevention program for 50 Philadelphia public school administrators. Then we had another work move, this time to Illinois, and I was a school psychologist for a self-contained behavior, I don't like this term, behavior disorders, but BD program in a large suburban high school here in Oak Park. And during that time, I initiated an employee assistance program for teachers at the school. So a variety of experiences, I think, prepared me to then go into private practice. I just felt the need to work intensively with parents because school kids' behaviors are totally influenced by their family system. And I had received training in family therapy in both Boston and Philadelphia. So it was a natural to begin a family therapy private practice.
That's wonderful. What lessons, what's some of the lessons that you learned from your work?
I learned that everyone has incredible personalities. We're all unique, but in other ways, we're quite alike. I learned internal family systems, the IFS model of doing psychotherapy here in Oak Park, and it just opened up a whole different way of understanding people. So putting together family therapy in the traditional way and combining it with internal family systems, that is, looking at how family personalities interconnect. If you consider that your parents, your siblings, and your friend personalities have an impact on you, you then begin to understand how uniquely your personality has different parts, let's say from an insecure part and sad part to a brave part, a creative part, plus many, many more parts of your personality. And all of these protective parts of the personality are just out there, sometimes swirling. Sometimes you feel like they're polarized, they're in conflict.
Yeah, and they can compete with one another, I'm sure. Did your...
They do.
Yeah. Right? They battle.
They
Did
do,
you,
but here...
Yep.
Here's the key. There is a compassionate core self. If you consider some metaphor that makes sense, one is an inner anchor. If you consider that you actually do have within a calm sense about you, then you can accept that you have a variety of personality parts. And like a wise mediator, you can work things out and move forward.
Which is a beautiful place to be when you get a chance to be able to do that. Absolutely. Your career in mental health, would you say, Dr. Janice, that it inspired you to become a writer?
Yes, I would say that it did, because I had parents in my private practice ask me if I wouldn't write a book on parenting that expressed my views. So that's where I started, the first book, It Takes a Child to Raise a Parent.
That's wonderful. You know, tell us about that, Takes a Child to Raise a Parent. What is it about?
It's filled with stories. This is a child development book, but it's also a parent development book as well. Family stories can explain why kids act the way they do. And guess what? Kids often act in similar ways to their parents, either past or present. And each child, in certain ways, helps to raise their parents. For example, if a child is in distress, it's distressing to the parent, and this can often take you back in your mind to a time perhaps when you had distress in your own childhood. When we're little, we don't always work things out, and memories come flooding back decades later sometimes. So realizing that children and parents have the same basic needs, but they're often at odds with one another, it helps to be able to figure out what are the parts of my personality that are battling. Oh, they might be the same parts that my kids are battling in their own personalities. So hopefully both parent and child grow up as they work things out.
Together, exactly. What do you hope that readers will learn from parenting in reading your book, in addition to what you just said?
Well, each of my books contains exercises in each chapter to dive deeper into the reader's personality for personal growth. I really do want parents to enjoy parenting. I want them to learn as much as their child has to learn about life. I want parents to be able to recall their own childhoods and perhaps reconcile some parts of their personalities that maybe didn't work out so well when they were younger. And I would love for parents to realize that you don't need to yell at kids to get them to listen. I'd like them to learn that you cannot spank your values into your child. I'd like them to learn that hitting doesn't teach a child what positive behaviors to take next.
Which is very important as well. Then there's midlife maze. How do you define what midlife maze is all about?
Well, this book has the same parent population from my private practice, but the focus now is on midlife specifically, and that has been defined as ages 35 to 64. Midlife maze talks about the many different kinds of losses that just begin to pile up in midlife. Things like miscarriage, separation, or divorce, perhaps being fired from a job, perhaps losing good health, and certainly midlife maze is about loved ones who die. I really want the reader to come away with knowing that grieving is a natural healing response to loss rather than some kind of pathological experience. I'd like the reader to understand that normal grieving doesn't follow any kind of set pattern. But it's much more of a zigzag maze of many emotional parts. Sometimes you travel forward and then take three steps back. And I'd like the reader to understand that your loss stories are traumas, but it's also possible that your losses can be turning points or times when you can experience some kind of significant life change.
Why were you encouraged to write the book, too? How is it unique from other retirement books?
Yes, Transforming Retirement is all about my need to figure out how to retire, because I wasn't exactly sure how to do that.
Yeah.
And after reading many other retirement books that are popular, I realized that so many of them have as their major focus how to save money for retirement. And that is clearly an important thing. In fact, I found out that a lot of people are not saving money for retirement, and people are living longer, so that could be problematic. But I decided there was an opening for a book that was really more about your psychological portfolio than your financial portfolio. I felt that that was covered in other people's retirement books. So I surveyed 125 people ages 55 to 96 and found that their responses to my questions about what retirement meant to them and how they spend their time, those responses were all over a continuum from planning to retire to semi-retired to retired to never retirement. And there were a number of people who specifically wrote on their survey that they never planned to retire.
That's amazing, really is. What is transforming retirement about?
Again, stories. It tells stories of famous individuals facing the same dilemmas as the rest of us. One story that comes to mind is about Julie Andrews, the wonderful singer featured in so many Broadway shows early on. Julie Andrews is an example of a health trauma. She had surgery to remove a cyst on her vocal cord, and she lost her perfect pitch voice. This is a woman who started singing at age 10, and to lose her voice meant losing her career. So she lost hope in her 60s. She was depressed. But she was able to rewire something that I'm definitely in favor of. When the chips are down, we have to gather up all of those protective personality parts and say, okay, what are we going to do about this? What can we possibly do about this? Julie Andrews now is writing books with her daughter, children's books, and she learned how to whistle. I just love that story. It's so encouraging.
She's a children's book author with her daughter, right, which is it's like a new lease on life and a new way to still express her desire to be connected and creative and share a gift with the world, which I think is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Why do you, from your perspective, Doctor, feel the need to sort of gain actual insights from individuals in order to write the book?
Well, I think that telling people's stories is important because you never really know where your readers might be in their own life. But when they can find that they're not alone, when they can find, oh, someone else has that story, someone else feels that way, it is so helpful. So I gained a lot of perspective by reading the survey responses myself. And then COVID hit just when I was ready to publish this book. I lost my editor, who was furloughed from work. I had to look for a new publisher, which was not easy. Publishers were challenged, just like a lot of other businesses. So I rewired my own manuscript. I created a second survey on how the pandemic may have affected retirement. I didn't realize in sending out the first survey how much I might need to contact those 125 people. So I made it optional for people to give me their email address. I thought, well, if they want to be anonymous, that's okay. Or if they want to know when the book is coming out, I could email them that. But I did find that among that 125 people, 80 of them had given me that optional email. So I emailed them during the pandemic with a shorter set of questions, but essentially asking them if the pandemic had affected their retirement and their ways of spending time. 40 out of the 80, which is a pretty good return in doing research, 40 of them were gracious enough to return that survey. And it was fascinating to see that once again, just like the initial one-page survey, there was a continuum of responses. No two people had the same experience. They were all pretty different.
It's amazing, you know. It really, really is. And that's life. Yeah, we're all, you know, individuals. We have our own understanding of life. And do you think, moving on to the retirement aspect, and I'm sure I know the answer to this question, with the cost of living and just everything being so unique, artificial intelligence coming into play, a lot of different variables, the pandemic has happened. Do you think retirement is more challenging these days than it was in years past based on how COVID changed things?
Yes, I think you guessed at the answer.
Yeah.
I do think that retirement is a bit tricky, certainly because people are living longer, and it's very tricky if you were not a person who had made some plans, both some financial plans and some psychological plans. I think that retirement years work best when people think about it ahead of this final developmental stage. I think the pandemic was an interesting twist. No one saw it coming. Some people actually thrived. They liked having a slowdown. They liked having time for reflection. Some people wrote on their survey that they spent more time with their family than usual, even though it was on Zoom. But they were having extended family gatherings, because family these days often means spread out over the country. So some people actually felt they were getting closer to family, but many, many others don't feel that they were getting close. In fact, they felt isolated. Some people were very lonely. People lost their jobs. And many families and friends lost loved ones. I can say that two of my dear friends died during COVID, and many of my friends lost their parents to COVID. So grief was especially lonely for people because memorial services had to be online. People couldn't physically be together in the way that they might have been together to memorialize a loved one. So I do think that retirement is a real challenge these days. On the other hand, it has lots of possibilities. I think that people who maintain a growth mindset as long as possible, and of course, that depends upon your cognitive health, but those of us who have our cognitive health, we need to keep growing. No one needs to remain in a fixed mindset where you believe that you have a set personality that's set in plaster. We now know from research that personalities have plasticity. There's such a thing as neuroplasticity in the brain. That's so exciting. We know so much more about brain development than our parents' generation knew in their retirement years. So there's hope.
Pause on that and let that just sort of filter through the air that there's hope. I like that. That's so important for people to realize. You mentioned you also do speaking engagements and workshops and different things of that nature, a lot of different resources and tools available that you have for your clients. Tell us about some of those, including, are you still holding those workshops?
Yes, I just gave a workshop to psychotherapists on the retirement angle over the weekend in Michigan, and I'll be presenting at a conference in Denver in 3 weeks, and then at an Illinois conference again for psychotherapists in early November. So I'm enjoying my semi-retirement. I currently write a weekly blog, Pearls of Peace, and wow, peace is a much needed thing, not just family peace, but certainly planet peace.
Why do you love doing what you do so much?
I think I was raised by two very passionate parents, and they taught the value of stick-to-itiveness. That's kind of an old-fashioned word, but in today's way of looking at it, it would be the word grit. That's a concept that's been researched by Angela Duckworth, and that quality in your personality means passion plus persistence. That was a value in my family of origin. And I am so grateful to my parents. I'm one of the lucky ones. I had great parenting and hopefully have provided that for my own two kids too. But I'd like to see more of it in the world.
That's a beautiful way to wrap this particular 30-minute conversation, Doctor, and truly an honor and a privilege to have you with us, imparting your wit and wisdom with us. And I encourage folks, if they want to connect more, you can connect with a very special guest, Dr. Janice Johnston, by going to the website, Janice Johnston, that's Janice with J-A-N-I-S as the spelling, and then Johnston, J-O-H-N-S-T-O-N, .com. And you can also check out the books, It Takes a Child to Raise a Parent, as well as, of course, Midlife Maze, and also Transforming Retirement, Rewiring and Growing Your Legacy. Dr. Johnston, a real pleasure, and hope we get a chance to explore some more down the line, maybe hear some testimonials, things of that nature. That would be a pleasure, but thanks for all the incredible work that you do, and I hope you enjoyed the time with me on Close Up Radio as much as I have with you today.
I did. And, Jim, it's a pleasure to spend some time with you and certainly your listening audience.
Thank you very much. And I'm sure we'll We'll do it again soon, and I would look forward to that. Revered and renowned and beloved psychologist and author, Dr. Janice Johnston, joining us here live on Close Up Radio. This is your host, Jim Masters, thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, thanks for being with us as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another incredible guest from around the world, celebrated right here on Close Up Radio Live. Till then, for all of us, have a great day.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.